Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
All right, welcome everyone. Hope you're all doing well. On the call today, we have Garrett Crochet. Garrett, thank you very much for taking the time today. We really appreciate it. We can get started. So whoever wants to kick us off, go ahead and ask the first question.
Hey, Garrett. I guess after so many months of trade rumors, what was the feeling finally when the trade went through and that you were going to the Red Sox?
Yeah, it was a big relief. Takes a lot of stress out of the way of I suppose in spring training, you know, being curious where we're going to be living, you know, the housing situation is tough to figure out. So it's nice to, you know, kind of be ahead of the game in that regard.
Garrett, as soon as the deal got done, there was almost immediately kind of a pivot toward whether the Red Sox might be able to work out an extension with you past your control time through 26. Just wondering your thoughts about that, if you've given any thoughts to it, and would you be open to negotiating some sort of extension, or do you want to kind of see how you like Boston? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I really haven't had much time to give it a lot of thought. For me, it's this time of year, the main thing that I'm focused on is my training and getting ready for spring training. Until I'm told otherwise, that's going to be my main focus.
Garrett, what excites you most about this opportunity? The team that is around you, you know, what's kind of jumps out at you as what is special about this for you?
Yeah, I think that the opportunity to play for the market of Boston, the fan base that's representing the Red Sox is, you know, about as great of an opportunity as you can come by in this game. Especially growing up, that's what you imagine to be is Major League Baseball is, you know, playing in the AL East, Boston, New York, you know, the whole thing like that. And I grew up watching Big Poppy, so it's you know, going to be a very surreal moment to play where he played.
Hey, Garrett, David Laurel from Fangraphs. We talked in Chicago in August, and at the time you said you were thinking a lot about usage percentages, Maybe integrating more sliders and changeups. Do you anticipate having conversations with the Red Sox on what they would like to see?
Yeah, I believe I'm going to, you know, have a little bit more of an in-depth conversation next week with Andrew Bailey and the rest of the staff. Are already, you know, have a relationship kind of bridged from my former pitching coach and Ethan Katz to Andrew Bailey, having known each other just through the game. So I anticipate those conversations will come. I've done a little bit of thinking of it on my own, just in terms of, you know, incorporating the sinker later in the year, and feeling like I have truly five pitches that I could throw in any moment. So it'll definitely be a fine tuning game, and one that, you know, I'm sure that there's a lot of ways to skin the cat in that regard, but ultimately I don't think that I'll change the fastball cutter usage a whole lot. I feel like that's kind of my bread and butter, and what a big reason why I had success last year, but the addition of the sinker, I think, is a conversation worth having.
Great. Welcome to Boston.
Thank you.
Garrett, how much, I guess, have you had a chance to maybe talk with Giolito and Hendricks and some of the guys just that you might have known from Chicago on what the transition might be like, and if that'll be help it make it even easier knowing a few guys?
Yeah, I've texted with them a little bit, and a little bit of the rest of the team as well. You know, had a couple guys reach out, so it was really cool to immediately feel welcome and wanted in the organization. So I haven't really talked much beyond spring training housing and where guys like to live at in Boston. You know, that's about as far as the conversations have gone. But I really look forward to sharing the clubhouse with those guys.
Hey, Garrett, just as far as last year went, it was your first full season as a starter in the big leagues, and wanted to get a sense of how you felt physically as the year went on, and, you know, kind of how you feel you made the adjustment now, you know, kind of with a full year under your belt.
Yeah, I've always talked a lot about, you know, just the 5-day routine being huge for me. I think that ultimately led, you know, to good health throughout the year, and just a consistent output from a production standpoint. Transitioning to a starter is easier said than done, but at the same time, I felt like I was able to take it in stride really well. At the same time, you're just getting outs. You just happen to be getting more of them. So for me, there really wasn't a big adjustment.
And now, I guess, now that you have, 140-something innings, in a season under your belt, do you feel you're at a point now where come second half next year, you'll be good to hopefully push it the rest of the way?
Yeah, definitely. In terms of how long my leash will be, I hope to not even be wearing a collar come second half next year.
Garrett, how frustrated were you with that aspect of things last year, where it seemed like you wanted to be given a little bit more down the stretch of the season, and obviously that's a big deal for you moving forward is your availability.
Yeah, it was frustrating in a lot of ways, but at the same time, I understood the usage concerns. Going from 12 to 100 would be seen as a big jump, and just even being that close to 150 is a lot greater. But for me, yeah, there was a lot of things that I was working on in the second half that I felt like I could have expanded on had the innings, been a little bit more, normal, I suppose. But at the same time, that's kind of the cards I was dealt, and I was still just kind of getting my work in as best as I could.
That being said, how do you feel you evolved as a pitcher last year? As you mentioned, plus fastball cutter was predominantly what you used. How do you feel you kind of changed as a pitcher, grew as a pitcher last year?
Yeah, so for me, it was as a reliever, I was pretty much all fastball, slider. The changeup, I probably threw it like a 9% clip, which it was probably the exact same as a starter, maybe less, maybe more. But I felt like I was utilizing the changeup a lot more effectively and kind of learned the situations to throw it based on hitters' reactions or just setting it up in general. And the sweeper was a pitch that, you know, at the beginning of the year, I was doing exactly what I wanted to with it in terms of, you know, throwing it for strikes at a higher clip, using it early, using it late. Adding the cutter, which I really didn't do until spring training, was where the real growth started to set in. I felt like that was huge for my game as a whole. It was kind of protecting the sweeper and protecting the four seam all at the same time. Throughout the year, as hitters began to adjust to me, I felt that adding a sinker maybe wasn't necessary, but I saw it as very beneficial after seeing how the cutter panned out. Just being a pitch that breaks to my glove side and I could throw it hard like a fastball, I kind of wanted to pair that with another pitch that broke arm side that I could throw hard like a fastball. Well, with that being said, though, I feel like the changeup and the sweeper still have their moments and their days in the sun, but I think that the sinker and cutter and four seam, just that trio is, you know, that's kind of going to become who I am.
Building off of that, Garrett, how do you explain the jump in strike throwing and the decrease in walk rate? Was that a product of just the cutter and allowing you to stay in the zone, or health? What was that?
Yeah, for me, it was a little bit of, you know, just knowing that I'm going to be going deeper in the games, and I want to go as deep as I can and be as economical with my pitches as possible. So I think that it was more of a mentality of, you know, throwing strikes is what's going to ultimately help the team and help conserve the bullpen. And also, that's just the name of the game. You know, you got to give the hitter a chance at some point. And eventually it kind of developed into just a natural confidence. The cutter definitely helped with that, just being a pitch that I felt like I could throw it down the middle for the most part, and just knowing that it wasn't a straight fastball, that it was going to, you know, either induce weak contact or a swing and miss, or just have enough of a wrinkle to make the hitter, you know, second guess and take it for a strike.
And getting to the question of the trade, you know, obviously, given where the White Sox were, you heard a lot of trade chatter, in July. Like, how much, as you were, you know, as you were going through the season and enjoying this like huge step forward in your career, were you kind of like, I might be. The next step of this might not be in Chicago? And then, like, was there a part of you that was relieved to have this, you know, this question of where your future was going to be spent behind you when you heard of the trade?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of relief when it finally came to fruition, and I got the call from Getz and eventually Breslow as well. A lot of people, you know, might view the trade as adding some chaos into your life, but for me, it felt like all the chaos was stripped away. Just, you know, worrying about it for 8 months on end, knowing that it's kind of the writing on the wall. It was nice to have it, you know, kind of just being able to put it behind me and looking forward to the season.
Garrett, you've pitched at Fenway before. Can you kind of speak to what your experiences have been like at Fenway and kind of what you're looking forward to getting to call it home?
Yeah. It's an electric atmosphere, and it's fans that are knowledgeable about baseball, and not every fan base can say that. So that's probably the biggest thing that I look forward to. That along with, you know, they expect you to win, and they expect you to be great because they've seen it before. That's the main thing that I'm looking forward to.
Garrett, in addition to the uncertainty about where you were going to go, what was it like kind of going through the tough season that the team had and 121 losses? Like, how much did that wear on you? And, you know, the prospect for pitching for a more competitive team, what does that mean?
Yeah, in terms of how it wears on you, you know, you're playing an individualized team sport. So all I was doing was the best that I could as far as my preparation and the work that I was putting in prior to games, and then going out there and giving all my effort on the field. So it didn't wear on me a whole lot, because at the end of the day, I knew that I was, you know, contributing every ounce of energy that I could to the team. Sometimes it just didn't go our way. And then what was the second part of your question as well? Playing for a team that has a chance to contend. Was that what you were saying?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very exciting. You know, I was in the playoffs in 21 and right after, shortly after I debuted in 2020, and they were early exits both times. So, you know, that's something that's kind of stuck with me over the years is I know what the feeling is like, and, you know, I'd like to lengthen that as much as possible and make a deep run.
Garrett, how did the whole thing with you becoming a starter, how did that come about? And were you kind of surprised, like, how well and how quickly you kind of took to the role?
So I was drafted with the notion of becoming a starter at some point down the line. Tommy John kind of threw a wrinkle into that. And then recovering from Tommy John didn't go as smoothly as I had hoped for. But for me, it was a conversation that I felt was necessary for Getz and I to have. And luckily, he felt the same way. It was, you know, from a health perspective, the potential of it being better, like having a set routine than not, was something that, you know, we were both intrigued by. It was something that I always felt like would benefit me in the end. And luckily it did. In terms of expectations I had on myself, it's tough to say I surpassed them because I hold myself to a high standard, but there were definitely points in the year where I don't want to say I shocked myself, but it was, I was very relieved with how well it was going.
What are your thoughts on the Sox rotation, and you know, how much you're looking forward to getting to know those guys like Tanner and Cutter and Brian and kind of trading secrets with them?
Yeah, there's a good group and a lot of guys whose brains I could pick. Cutter's got a good arsenal as well as Tanner. Bayo, I've never had a chance to talk to, but I look forward to it as well. He's got an incredible changeup, and everybody's kind of got that one pitch that makes them themselves. So I'd like to kind of, incorporate that into my game as much as possible. But just being around those guys is something that I look forward to. Obviously, meeting Tanner at the All-Star game, felt like he was a great guy to be around, Jaron as well. So I look forward to, continuing to develop those relationships.
And you come here.
Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
And do you come here thinking that this is a playoff team and that this is a team that's ready to make steps forward toward contending for a championship?
Yeah, that's definitely how I'm looking at it.
Thanks.
Just going off of that, is there anybody on the team who you have a past relationship with besides the your former White Sox teammates and the guys at the All-Star game?
No, I met Rob Ref Snyder, a couple off seasons ago, just briefly. But I think that's about the extent of it. It's really just, former teammates and Rob that I've kind of run into.
You said that you grew up watching the Reds, watching David Ortiz. I'm wondering if you are looking forward to getting to know any of the kind of Red Sox alums that come to spring training. Pedro Martinez is usually there kind of working with pitchers. If there's, former Sox legends that you're kind of hoping to pick their brains about the whole experience and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that having any sort of conversation with Pedro would be, my ideal world. But I'm kind of going in with low expectations, hoping to bump into guys when I can. But other than that, when I get into spring training, I intend on just having my head down and working hard.
Along the lines of the Pedro question, are you okay with giving up number 45?
Yeah, that was one of the first things that I realized after the trade went through. And then I wore 34 in college, so that one was retired. And other than that, I had never really picked a number since high school. And in high school, I wore number 14, which I also believe was retired. So it was just funny the way that it all worked out.
Which number did you wind up with?
35.
Garrett, have you ever gotten a chance to meet Chris Sale? And what do you think of kind of becoming another White Sox sort of frontline guy who's going to transition to the Red Sox?
Yeah, I briefly talked to him at the All-Star game as well. Didn't really get past surface level conversation just because we were kind of both getting pulled in opposite directions. But I really just kind of look forward to paving my own way.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.